All right, welcome back, and as promised, we come right back now with our weekly visit from Matt Shook, who had the misfortune, Matt, of having to view the first Lions preseason game. Now, look, I know nobody that we know played, but still, the Patriots threw more passes than the Lions ran plays.
Yeah, and there were times throughout the end of the third quarter that the Lions had more injuries than first downs, and that's pretty much not what you want in the first preseason game. And like you said, I mean, you don't want to overreact to a horrible drubbing, or if the shoe was on the other foot, if they had somehow beaten up the Patriots or something like that, you wouldn't want to overreact either way. But you do kind of want to see not only the health be a thing that's good, but obviously, you lose two players of the season, including Jermaine Kearse, who's probably was a semi-lock to make the roster there at the wide receiver position, and then some defensive depth with Kilgo going out, and then some concussion to Sam Savage, so you got to bring in another quarterback for training camp. Just really a nightmare performance, the injuries being the most important part, but just how last year's preseason went. They were so miserable during the preseason last year, and it obviously spilled over into the first part of the season, and just bad taste in the mouth for Lions fans to start this one, putting a little bit more pressure, I would say, on week two and week three of the preseason to show some good performances.
Well, my thing is you've got Hoyer looking like Tom Brady, and that makes me a little nervous about the secondary. I mean, he was 12 out of 14 and made it kind of look easy. And even the guy that came in after him, I was joking, Stidham, I think was his name, that he'll be the guy that the Lions sign as soon as the Patriots let him go.
Yeah, that's maybe what the Lions fans should be watching for, is all those guys that tore up the Lions will probably be Lions in a few weeks after the Patriots cut them, like you said. So, and I think it's concerning about that secondary, because a lot of those depth guys, I mean, we talk about Darius Slay and Coleman and Melvin probably being some of those starters, but then you get Tracy Walker in there as a safety who lines up in the slot sometimes too. But some of these other guys like Aurarie or Will Harris and Andrew Adams, guys that played a lot in that game, are guys that are going to have to be relied on when the game's starting to mean something. And some of those guys look pretty bad throughout most of it. Miles Killebrew looked like he played pretty well for the most part, despite giving up a touchdown in one-on-one coverage as an outside linebacker there. But, a lot to be discouraged about. And the other thing is they started the real offensive line for the first series, and they gave up a sack and couldn't run the ball in that series. So the guys that do kind of matter, like I said, that secondary depth and that offensive line, they also look terrible too. So really nothing to be excited about. Kearse goes down on the fifth play of the game, pretty much quiets any kind of energy the crowd might have had, and it was just kind of a long evening after that.
That could end up being a bigger issue than maybe people are even making right now, because after Galladay and after Jones, at least at the wide receiver position, who do you go to next?
Yeah, and the outside positions, there's just nothing else. I mean, you got Amendola on the slot, but of course he's a guy who is getting older and hasn't really had as good a production as maybe one would have expected back in his New England days and into Miami as well. So, and like I said, it's the NFL. Some of these guys are going to get hurt as the season goes along. And Jermaine Kearse was one of the only more experienced guys. So, Chris Lacy, Andy Jones, Travis Fulgham, who they drafted out of Old Dominion. And then you got some undrafted guys in there as well. Brandon Powell's been a guy the last couple of preseason who showed some stuff and probably ends up making the team at the end of the day. Tom Kennedy's a former lacrosse player. They've got a strange mix of wide receivers, none of them which make you really feel all that excited about them playing in real games. Although I will say that, Powell and Andy Jones at the end of last season, both, in NFL games that really didn't matter, week 16 and 17 for the Lions, they did put up some numbers there.
Small sample size, but the back from Maryland and I forget who the other back was, but they averaged 6.1 yards a carry, so that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, Ty Johnson, the rookie from Maryland, did pretty good. When he gets into space there, he does a pretty good job. Zach Zenner was out there a little bit. Mark Thompson from Kentucky played some. Zach Zenner solidly, maybe for the first time, kind of feels like he'll solidly beyond this roster.
That hurts me. And I went off on this. It might have been Friday that I did that. Because Zach Zenner, to me, and maybe I'm just overreacting, but he's my Lions Don Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Every year I got to hear about Zach Zenner and what a tough, hard-nosed kid he is. And every year he doesn't do anything. Doesn't help them win. He doesn't hurt them, but he doesn't help them.
Yeah, you know what? And I'll kind of back you up on that in a larger sense, because all offseason, you know, Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn, the word around all the NFL reporters and all the reporters like me who cover the team is that they have improved the depth of this roster, that Bob Quinn has drafted pretty well in the late rounds, and that the roster is better, you know, spots 30 to 53. And even into the practice squad and possible guys that might make the team out of training camp in the 90 that they have right now. Well, that was on display on Thursday, and if that's the case, then the Lions should be a really good week one and week four preseason team, because when you're playing all those backups and guys that are on the fringe of the roster. So what happened? Well, they got killed 31-3. So maybe that narrative that this team is building up all this quality depth is a little bit of a lie, especially when guys like you said, Zach Zenner, who are barely NFL guys, are maybe guys who are being discussed as possibly nipping at C.J. Anderson's heels for some of these number two running back carries.
Yeah. All right, let's shift gears. Tell me about Michael Beasley.
Michael Beasley, you may remember him from being a highly touted NBA draft pick 11 years ago, is now kind of just floated his way through a pretty unremarkable NBA career, and now he's trying to keep it going for a little bit longer by going to the Pistons. The good news for Pistons fans is it's a non-guaranteed deal. He's actually the 16th guy brought in, and you only are allowed to carry 15 guys. So it looks like we got a little bit of a training camp battle going with Michael Beasley and possibly Christian Wood, who they brought in off the waivers from the Milwaukee Bucks a few weeks back. So sounds like really it might just be those two guys going for the final spot on the roster, and could be guys that whoever gets that spot could get some real minutes, because both have been productive in the past, especially offensively. Beasley a couple years ago scored a lot of points for the New York Knicks. Obviously, there were a lot of minutes and shots available on that team, but then kind of struggled last year with the Los Angeles Lakers. 5-game marijuana suspension if he does make the team for the Pistons, so that's something that's not working in his favor. It's another person added to a mix that used to be, it's a team that, and I'm consider myself, you know, an expert on the Pistons, and I do believe that they have increased the depth on the back of the roster of this team. Now, obviously, the front of the roster is the issue that means they're nothing more than probably a fringe playoff team, but, some of the future looks a little bit bright. Certainly a lot brighter than it did 2 or 3 years ago with this roster.
My concern with it, man, I got no problem with them bringing in Beasley, but it always seems that lately we get these guys that injuries are a definite threat. He played 20 games for the Lakers last mm-hmm. year, and I think in the last 4 or 5 seasons he's had 1 year where he played at least 50 games.
Yeah, you're right, and you add it on top of Derrick Rose and on top of Blake Griffin and on top of Reggie Jackson, you got kind of a recipe for possible disaster, because as we know for the Pistons, given the history of Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson, really the Pistons were very, very fortunate last year to have the injury luck that they had up until obviously Blake Griffin had his problems come playoff time, which is the worst possible time for those to creep up, and that's a team that went 41-41 and got as good of a possibility you could imagine the season out of Blake Griffin. There's a concern that you get 3-4 guys that have serious injuries, and if Blake Griffin's one of them, you're talking about a team that's back in the 30s in the win column, and obviously that's where they were for the past decade or so, and there's nothing to be excited about for that.
No, we got to keep these guys healthy to at least keep it interesting. All right, I want to ask you again about Riley Green, because now I'm getting nervous, okay? and I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
Nothing that Riley Green is doing wrong. Riley Green's doing everything that he needs to do. The problem mm-hmm. is the Tigers are so bad, and there is so little positive to talk about this franchise that now the weight of the world mm-hmm. revolves around this 18-year-old kid a month and a half out of high school becoming a superstar. And I'm just worried about everybody's going to put the franchise tag on this kid and destroy him before we ever get him to the big leagues in 4 years.
Yeah, he's kind of the only, like you said, the only bat that's projectable as an impact bat at the major league level, unless you want to be optimistic about Isaac Paredes, who's in Erie and starting to hit at the double-A level at the age of 20. So, yeah, Riley Green's the guy. I mean, talk about all these pitchers, and we talk about it every week, who these guys are and who they might be in the future, but Riley Green's just like the one guy who's an offensive prospect on this team. And, all sorts of good signs about him, but he's 18 years old, and he's got a lot of levels to get up, and guys get injured, guys start finding out some, pitchers at every level start finding out and trying different things on you, and you're running into more consistent top pitching night in and night out as the levels get tougher. But I don't know. I mean, it's something to be excited about for Tigers fans, and, a reason to go over to West Michigan maybe in this next month or so, or maybe wait till the beginning of next season when him, Parker Meadows, and Wenzel Perez will probably be all three of them, I would imagine, at West Michigan next year. And like you said, if you fear that he might have a lot of pressure on him, what would be even worse is that they kind of keep moving him up and think, oh, okay, well, maybe he's ready for Lakeland now. Maybe he's ready for Erie now, Toledo, and all the way up to Detroit, and that maybe he's up before he's ready. I mean, if you're a Tigers fan, you certainly don't want this guy playing in Major League games over the next, certainly not next season, and probably not the season after that. Now, when you get to 2022, stuff like that, maybe we can talk if things are going really well. But, a lot of pressure on the young man, but he seems like he's got a great head on his shoulders, and as far as just him and just his situation going forward, there's a lot to like about Riley Green.
I hope it works out because, again, every time we start to hype one of these guys, we end up with a Jacob Turner or a Steven Moya. And I think at this stage of the rebuild or the process or whatever terminology you like to use with it, that would be a catastrophe for the Tigers if Riley Green doesn't work out in some way of being a quality big league ball player for them.
Yeah, and I think the good news is that fans will be held over for these next, year and a half or so. Jake Rogers is providing a little bit of excitement right now. You would imagine that possibly Bo Burrows, probably Willie Castro, will be up here sometime in these next couple weeks. Sometime next season, I would imagine you'll see the major league debuts of Casey Mize and Matt Manning there going forward. A couple other arms in there, including Joey Wentz, who they picked up in the trade a couple weeks back. So there's going to be enough excitement for the diehards and the Tigers nerds to kind of keep us, at bay a little bit. Alavila's got his contract extension there, so he doesn't need to use any Riley Green capital to get him to be saving his job or anything like that. So there's good news all around for that. And other than the fact that, they're one of the worst baseball teams in history, that you could be excited about the Tigers in about 2024, 2025, something like that.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I'm going to be able to hold out that long.
Hey, well, you don't have much of a choice. I'm sorry to, tell you.
I don't. They don't give you much of a choice, at least not right now. Hey, Matt, thanks as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate it.
And you can tell them about the podcast, too, real quick.
Yeah, Locked On Pistons. We talked Michael Beasley. We're talking about the schedule. The NBA schedule came out a couple hours ago, and I've got the full breakdown tomorrow's show. Locked On Pistons, iTunes, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, you can find it there.
All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Dennis. Talk to you soon.
We'll see you. There's Matt Shook, as always, on a plethora of subjects there. I'll talk a little bit more about the Tigers in just a bit. They do have the night off tonight. Seattle comes to town tomorrow night to open up a three-game series at Comerica Park, all part of that 11-game homestand that the Tigers are currently in the midst of. And, well, they don't play very well at home. So we'll take a break. Be right back.